Macmillan Digital Audio and Belinda present this unabridged recording of
Christmas Under the Stars by Karen Swan, read by Antonia Beamish. There were plenty of people now that the sun was in the sky and the snow had stopped, the wind had dropped, and the landscape simply looked pretty and puffed up in its fresh white padding. Now they were here. And there were tens of them, search and rescue volunteers filling her tiny cabin, boiling her kettle to make rounds of coffee, tramping a slushy path outside the porch as they went back and forth with sombre expressions. The forest's beloved silence polluted by the synthetic crackle of two-way radios.
"So, let's go over it again, Meg,"
Martin Hughes, the search and rescue team leader, said. His knees splayed wide, his hands loosely clasped by interlaced fingers.
"He left at what time?"
"It was, 6:30, maybe just before."
"How can you be sure?"
"I was putting out dinner. We usually eat around then." Hughes nodded.
"Okay. And he told you he'd be back at
11:30. He said to give him 5 hours." 5 hours. The words echoed in her head. 5 hours margin for what, in ordinary conditions, wasn't even an hour's hike. It was too long to have been gone without raising the alarm. She never should have let him go.
"Has he ever done this before?"
"What, gone to the gully?"
"Tried to launch a rescue mission on his own."
Meg frowned, picking up the undertone. What was he doing? Trying to make Mitch out to be some crusading hero?
"No, never. It was only because it was so close to here and no one else was doing anything."
She directed a pointed stare at his boss, Robin Patterson, the station chief for the search and rescue unit. "Plus, he knows this backcountry better than anyone. He's an experienced skier and hiker, you know that. He said he couldn't just leave them. There was a 12-year-old boy out there. He had to do something. That's the kind of man he is. He would never abandon someone in need." Hughes looked into the flames of the fire for a moment, before bringing his gaze up to her.
"The thing is, Meg, those hikers he was looking for?"
She caught her breath.
"Oh God, have you found them?"
Her hand covered her mouth, her eyes looking straight back to Patterson, his walkie-talkie silent in his hand. Tears welled.
"Oh no, don't say that."
"They're fine,"
Hughes interrupted. He paused.
"They always were."
A stunned silence billowed out like a thrown sheet.
"What?"
Meg croaked, her brain befuddled.
"The hiker and son got back to town. They were late, but not missing."